Chapter 9. The Sneak Attack. Marge's plan was simple.
"I want to know what my sister's found out so far," she told me. "So while I distract her, you sneak into that mobile unit and get her evidence."
I looked to Summer, who was still hanging around. She stifled a giggle. "Isn't sneaking into the FBI's truck and stealing their evidence against the law?" I asked.
"I didn't say steal it," Marge qualified. "I said get it, like take pictures of what they have or something like that."
"It's still illegal to enter their truck," I told her. Marge frowned at me.
"You know what else is illegal? Shoplifting."
She tilted her head towards Summer in case I didn't understand what she meant. I got it, but Summer didn't.
"What are you talking about?" she asked. "Nothing," Marge said quickly. "Just a little code Teddy and I worked out. So, Teddy, are you going to help me or not?"
I looked to Summer again, hoping she would explain to Marge that this was a terrible idea. Instead, she grinned excitedly and said,
"I'll help too."
After that, I didn't really have much choice in the matter. Marge would use evidence against Summer to blackmail me if I didn't participate in her scheme, and Summer wanted to participate in it anyhow. Marge blackmailing Summer would be awful, but getting Summer annoyed at me wouldn't be great either. The best I could do was try to explain what was wrong with the plan in the first place.
"I'm willing to help, but there's a big problem with breaking into the mobile unit, Marge. Your sister is inside it right now."
"Someone will get her out of there," Marge said confidently.
"What about all the other FBI guys?" I pointed out. "And even if you can lure them all out, don't you think they'll lock the unit?"
"Don't get your panties in a wad," Marge taunted. "I've got this all figured out."
She started to slink down the alley toward the mobile unit, completely forgetting that JJ had ordered her to get her golf cart out of the shrubs. Marge's attempt to be stealthy was ridiculous. She wasn't exactly light on her feet. It was kind of like watching an elephant trying to tiptoe. At one point, she actually flattened herself up against the wall behind a drain pipe, as if she could possibly hide herself behind something 2 inches wide. Summer and I gamely slunk along behind her, doing our best not to laugh. Eventually, we made it to the corner of the administration building and peeked around it. I had a much better look at the mobile unit now than I'd had from 7 stories above. The words FBI Mobile Crime Unit were painted on each side, along with several images of the FBI seal, some American flags, and one bald eagle. A set of doors was built into the rear with steps coming down. Marge pointed to us, then to the truck, then made a series of complicated hand gestures I didn't understand. It looked like she was having an epileptic fit.
"What are you doing?"
Summer asked.
"Don't you two know your commando hand signals?"
Marge whispered.
"I don't think most people know those," I said, wondering if Marge even knew them herself.
Marge sighed, apparently annoyed by our lack of military training.
"I want you to go over to the mobile unit and wait underneath it," she explained. "Then, when I lure my sister and the others out, you sneak inside and see what they've found so far."
I scrutinized the mobile unit warily. The body of it was 1.5 feet off the ground, which would give Summer and me a decent amount of room beneath it. But that still didn't mean I wanted to go there.
"What if they drive away? We could get flattened under there."
"Oh, relax,"
Marge chided, as though my concern for my own safety was somehow unreasonable.
"You won't be there long. I'm going to lure them out fast."
"What if you can't?" I pressed.
"Oh, I'll get them out,"
Marge said confidently.
"I know my sister. She'll never pass up the chance to be a hero."
I started to ask what this meant, but Summer grabbed my hand and yanked me toward the mobile unit.
"Come on," she whispered. "Let's do this."
Either she wasn't as concerned for her safety as I was, or she actually trusted Marge on this. We reached the mobile unit but paused before going underneath it, having the same idea at once. We pressed our ears against the rear doors to see if we could hear anything important happening inside. We couldn't. Their voices were muffled through the thick walls. Back by the administration building, Marge made some more hand signals for us. I was pretty sure she wanted us to stop screwing around and get under the mobile unit, although it looked like she was doing some very bad disco dancing. Summer and I slid under the mobile unit. It was awful.
Heat radiated off the engine, and it reeked of gasoline. I gave Marge the thumbs up to get going with her diversion quickly. Marge pulled a gun out of her holster.
"Oh, no," I gasped. "What's she doing?"
"Making sure her sister hears her."
Summer clapped her hands over her ears. I did the same. Thankfully, Marge thought to aim away from any buildings or people before firing her gun. Unfortunately, she was a terrible shot. Her first bullet blew the rearview mirror off the mobile unit. The second ricocheted off the panda truck. The third annihilated a street lamp. Each bang echoed loudly in the space between the buildings. In her haste to distract her sister, Marge hadn't considered what anyone else's reaction to hearing a gun discharge near a theme park might be, or what the animals' reactions would be either. In the distance, I heard the startled trumpet of elephants and roar of big cats, along with many startled human screams. But it certainly got the attention of the FBI as well. The agents all burst out of the truck above us with Molly in the lead. There were five of them now, three who had arrived on the helicopter, and two who must have come in the mobile unit. I could only see their feet from my position, but from their stances I could tell they all had their guns out as well.
"What's the situation?" Molly yelled to her sister.
"Someone suspicious was poking around the panda truck," Marge informed her.
"And you shot at them?" Molly snapped.
"They pulled a gun on me first," Marge exclaimed. "They went that way."
She pointed along the side of the administration building.
"Fan out,"
Molly ordered her agents.
"Avila, follow me. Johnson, Ross, and McDonough, circle the admin building and try to head the perp off."
The agents sprang into action, racing off after the imaginary criminal. Marge flashed a satisfied smirk at Summer and me.
"Marge," Molly yelled, "get your rear in gear. I need you to identify the suspect."
Marge raced off after her sister. Summer and I scrambled out from under the mobile unit. The rear doors were swinging shut, but Summer quickly lunged up the steps and caught them before they locked. I heard more voices now. It sounded like people were coming our way, concerned about the gunshots. Summer and I slipped inside the mobile unit and shut the doors behind us. Thankfully, it was air-conditioned. The interior was spotless and sterile. There were several workstations with portable computers, microscopes, and plenty of technical equipment I didn't recognize.
"Don't touch anything," Summer warned me.
"No duh," I replied. One computer was live-streaming a local newscast. The sound had been turned off, but it was obviously about Li Ping. A local TV reporter was positioned outside the front gates of Fun Jungle. The news crawl at the bottom of the screen declared, "Li Ping still missing. No leads in case yet. Premier of China reported to be furious."
How do you think the news even learned that Li Ping was missing? I wondered. Not that many people at Fun Jungle knew, and all of us were supposed to keep it a secret.
"It wouldn't have been that hard for someone here to figure it out," Summer replied. "The FBI wasn't exactly subtle when they showed up. One of those people poking around the crime scene this morning probably put two and two together."
"And you think they went right to the news?"
"Definitely. News companies pay big money for tips like that."
"Isn't that illegal?"
"Probably, but it happens all the time. People are always trying to sell video of me to news services." I sighed, well aware this was true. A few weeks before, Summer had accidentally dropped an ice cream cone at Fun Jungle, and a day later, video of it was on a celebrity news site with the headline, "Bummer McCracken, Summer's Massive Ice Cream Fail." Even though it was the least interesting video ever, it still got several million hits. We turned our attention to the rest of the mobile unit. The envelope that had been pinned to Doc's chest was sitting on the desktop at the workstation, farthest from the door. It had been removed from the plastic evidence bag. The envelope had been split open, and the letter that had been inside was now unfolded next to it. It was a single sheet of white paper and had been printed off a computer. "Dear J.J. McCracken, deliver the $10 million to White Horse Road, exactly 1.3 miles west of Highway 281. There is a large oak tree on the south side of the road with a hollow in the back. Place the money in a burlap sack. Unmarked $20 bills. Bring the money at exactly 12 noon on Tuesday. We know you have it, so that should give you plenty of time to get it together. Come alone. If you fail to deliver the money, or if you bring any law enforcement with you, bad things will happen to your panda. There was a small brown object lying on the table with a letter. It was conically shaped, with a curve to it. Summer leaned in close.
What is that?
It's a claw, I told her. Must be one of Li Ping's. I pointed to the smooth cut at the end of it. Looks like they clipped it off her. Summer's eyes lit up with understanding.
So we know they really have her. Of course. It's like when kidnappers send a lock of hair from their victims.
The letter sat next to a computer. The image on the screen was split in half. The left side displayed a fingerprint, enlarged to 100 times its actual size. So big, every ridge and whorl was evident. On the right side of the screen, hundreds of other enlarged fingerprints were quickly scrolling through, 12 each second. At the bottom of the right side was the label FBIFD.
What do you think that means? I asked.
FBI Fingerprint Database? Summer suggested.
I'll bet the one on the left came off the letter or the envelope, and on the right side, they're searching for a match.
How long do you think that will take?
Probably a while. I'll bet there's millions of fingerprints in the database.
I glanced back toward the mobile unit doors, wondering how long we had until the FBI realized they were on a wild goose chase. We should probably get out of here.
Hey, Summer exclaimed, there's Xavier.
She pointed to the computer that was live-streaming the news. Xavier was now talking to the reporter. He was still wearing his tuxedo and panda ears. Despite the fact that she just warned me not to touch anything, Summer turned the sound up on the computer.
So, of course I'm disappointed, Xavier was saying. I mean, I've been waiting months to see Li Ping. My whole life I've wanted to see a panda, and now some jerk steals her? I hope that Fun Jungle and the police find her quickly and that she's okay.
The report cut to a grown man who was wearing a panda costume and had his face painted black and white. He was bawling.
Li Ping never did anything to anyone, he sobbed. Whoever stole her ought to go to jail for life.
I clicked off the sound and checked my watch nervously. We really ought to leave now. As I said this, however, the fingerprint display on the other computer stopped running. A single enlarged print appeared on the right-hand side, along with the heading 99.99% match. A name appeared beneath it. As much as I wanted to get out of there, even I couldn't resist seeing who the fingerprint belonged to. Summer and I both returned to the computer, seeking the identity of whoever had sent the ransom note. The name on the screen was Carlos Edward Gomez.
Ever heard of him? Summer asked.
No, I said.
Me either.
Summer started to type something on the computer. I caught her arm.
Don't start messing with anything. We don't have time. Don't be such a spaz, Summer pulled away from me. This won't take long. We'll be gone way before the FBI gets back.
A half second later, the FBI came back. The rear doors of the truck flew open. The sunlight from outside was blinding, casting the person who stood there in silhouette, but I could easily recognize the shape as that of Molly O'Malley.
I thought I made it clear that the two of you were to keep your distance from this investigation, she said coldly.
Summer was caught off guard, but she recovered incredibly fast, spinning a lie with amazing skill.
We were looking for you, she exclaimed. Teddy and I had some ideas about this case and thought you should hear them. So we came down here, but no one was around.
Spare me the lies. I'm not an idiot.
Molly grabbed both Summer and me by the collars and marched us out the door.
I know you two were in cahoots with my sister. She told me everything.
Outside, Marge stood between two of the FBI agents. Her arms were wrenched behind her back, handcuffed.
She did? Summer asked, looking betrayed.
Actually, she claimed this was all your idea, Molly told me, but I figured that's a lie as well. It is, I glared at Marge. She's the one who made us do this.
How?
Molly demanded. Marge met my eyes. There was a threat in them. If I revealed her blackmail methods to Molly, Marge could still release the footage she had of Summer out of spite. And frankly, I was nervous about saying Summer had shoplifted right after Molly had just nabbed us for trespassing. I didn't want her to think Summer was a serial troublemaker. So instead, I replied, "She just said she'd get us in trouble." Molly stared at me for another few seconds. She seemed to suspect there was more to my story, but it was impossible to tell with her eyes hidden behind her sunglasses. Finally, she said, "It is a crime to tamper with evidence in a federal investigation. Since it appears you were coerced into this, I'm going to let you off with a final warning. But if I catch you anywhere near this crime scene again, I will have both of you arrested." She shifted her gaze to Summer and added, "I don't care who your daddy is. Is that understood?" All of Summer's usual bravado vanished. "Yes," she said meekly. Molly looked back at me. "I understand," I said. "Is Marge under arrest?" Molly said, "My sister not only participated in this boneheaded scheme, but she also discharged a firearm in a public area. I don't take behavior like that lightly." I couldn't help but smile. I'd been handcuffed by Marge myself, so it was nice to see her getting a taste of her own medicine. Now that she'd been busted by her own sister, I figured she'd back off, forcing me to investigate this crime. And maybe Summer would back off as well, meaning I could go back to my normal life and stay out of trouble. I couldn't have been more wrong. My troubles were just getting started.